Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 7, Verse 121 to 130. This is the story of the Korma Brahman. The Korma Brahman stays home to preach. Korma name se grame vaidika brahman bahu shraddha bhakti kaila prabhura nirmantran. In one village in South India, there was a Vedic Brahmin named Korma. He invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect and devotion. Gareyani Prabhur Kaila Paraprakshalan Se Jalavamsha Sahit Karila Bhakshan. This Brahmin brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and washed his lotus feet, and with his family members drank that water. The Brahmin of Kurmakshetra Brahmin, he's being very respectful, says Shraddha Bhakti, that he invited Lord Chaitanya, his nirmantran, his invitation, was with great, he had great faith and with great devotion. And these are very attractive qualities. If someone approaches another person and has full faith, has faith in the other person, and has great affection and devotion for that other person, naturally that person will be attracted to the approaching person. But sometimes, in other words, what's being taught here between the lines, Krishnadas Kaviraj is teaching us etiquette. Specifically, this is how grihastas should receive sannyasis. Of course, the sannyasi is God, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at least externally, he's acting as a sannyasi. And he, within the Varnashram Dharma, he's not acting as a vairagi, in the sense that a vairagi sadhu, he'll not go to any grihastha's house. He only lives in the forest, away from all society. But sannyasis who are moving in the context of Varnashram Dharma, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, they render service to the grihastas by staying in their house long enough to milk the cow. Like Narada Muni. They come, they take some milk, they give some harikata, perform some kirtan, and then go. So it's a benefit, because the sannyasis are considered to be walking places of pilgrimage. Wherever their feet tread, wherever their eyes glance, or wherever their words are uttered, that place becomes purified by their contact. So they contact grihastas to elevate them from the kupam, grihamanda kupam, and to bless them. And they're especially attracted, sannyasis are especially attracted by the svabhav and achar, the behavior and mood, nature of the grihastha who's inviting them. Like sometimes, being a sannyasi for a few years, we've been approached by various grihasthas. Oh Maharaj, why don't you come to our house sometime? very casual And I say, yeah, maybe, let's see what Krishna wants. But if someone approaches you with folded hands and very submissively and with great devotion, and they have so much regard for you, and that's evident by the tone of their voice, by the projection of their heart, which is coming through their voice, and by the expression on their face and their movements of their body, the person will be expressing their shraddha and bhakti, their faith and devotion for you as an individual, for you as a person, or for you as a sannyasi. So then that will attract the heart. Faith is very attractive. Devotion is very attractive. So then if someone comes like that, then they, in other words, the nirmantran, The invitation is irresistible. You can't say no. You have to go. And you will go. Because it is love which attracts. And that's a symptom. One of the characteristics of Krishna Prem is Sri Krishna Karshani. Krishna Prem, when one is in Krishna Prem, it has two characteristics. And one of the characteristics is that when one's heart is filled with Krishna Prem, such a heart attracts Krishna himself. So the devotees, when one approaches a devotee with love in their heart or affection, that attracts the devotee also. As Krishna is attracted by love, pure love, prema, the devotee is also attracted. So this Korma Brahma, Brahman, he attracted the heart of Lord Chaitanya. Because when Lord Mahaprabhu was staying in Jagannath Puri, all the devotees from Shrikanda, Shantipur, Mayapur, Navadvip Mandal, they would go every year to Puri to take part in the Chaturmasya observances and also Rath Yatra, Dol Yatra, Snan Yatra, and all the different festivals that Jagannath enjoys. And then there's literally hundreds and hundreds of devotees who go to Puri. So they were all vying for an opportunity to have Mahaprabhu come to their house and take lunch. But there were only 120 days in a month. I mean, in 4 months. Right? And of those 120 days, so many days are Ekadasi. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was doing Nirjal and staying up all night doing Kirtan. So then that's 2 times 4, that's 8. So 120 becomes 102. No, 112. 112. So you only have 112 days in the 4 months of Chaturmasya where Lord Chaitanya would eat in a different grihastha's home. Krishnadas Kaviraj explains that every day Lord Chaitanya would eat in some other devotee's home. And then some devotees, they would try to manifest so much love and so much devotion and faith and respect, they would try to have Lord Chaitanya come for a couple of days. Like Advaitacharya and Sita Devi, when they were in Puri, they would try to capture Lord Chaitanya for 2 or 3 days. They would block the time. They block the seats. They block the seats on the airplane or something, or group travel. So therefore, it was a very rare opportunity. You only had one chance in 112 or to have Lord Chaitanya take food from your hand. Provided, of course, that before you cooked, you chanted 1 lakh of rounds. Because he says in Chaitanya Bhagavat that I only take prasadam from a lakhpati. This was announced in Puri. I believe it was Puri. Maybe Mayapur. I think it was Puri. And so then all the grihasthas had to get to it. Get to the chanting. Get up early, because Mahaprabhu, of course, he would take prasad about 12:30 after bathing in Samudra, Bay of Bengal, which is a holy place of pilgrimage. And then he would chant his mantras and take prasad. This Korma Brahman was very fortunate, because during Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour, the Lord stayed there, took his lunch, prasadam. So first you invite the sannyasi with so much devotion and faith and respect and regard. And then if he accepts a nirmantran or invitation, then there are other swagatam niyams or rules of welcome or regulations that one does. So he washed his feet, Mahaprabhu's feet. And then the Brahman and his wife and all his family members, they drank that water. And that's called Charanamrita. It's direct, when you bathe the deity, the water is called Charanamrita. So here the deity is walking, moving. Aneka prakata snehe bhiksha karaila gosanira sheshanasa vamshikaila. With great affection and respect, that Korma Brahman made Mahaprabhu eat all kinds of food. Aneka prakar snehe bhiksha karaila. After that, the remnants were shared by all the members of the family. So this is the idea that in as many ways as possible, one should make a profit. If someone is a businessman, he tries to make a profit in as many ways as possible. So our business is Prem. This is our only business. Prem Seva. Everything we're doing, everything we're accepting, everything we're embracing is favorable for this and only this. And everything that is against this, we reject. Anukulyena sankalpa pratikulyena varjana. So now this Brahman, he's very intelligent. He has good subuddhi or sumedha. He's thinking, this is the golden opportunity of my life to host the golden avatar. So I want to take advantage. I want to make a lot of devotional profit. So in every move he's making, whether he's calculating it beforehand or not, but certainly he's receiving a profit by his attitude, by his speech, by his feelings, then by his actions. He's inviting him with great respect and love in his heart. Then he's washing his feet and drinking that water. And then he's feeding him aneka prakar, sneha. He's serving with great sneha, serving the Lord with great affection. Aneka prakara means varieties of tasty foodstuffs, all kinds of things. And can imagine, we call a love barometer. Barometer or thermometer, maybe you know better. Thermometer, you can measure your temperature of the body, thermometer, or anything. It's called Prem thermometer. That when sannyasis go to different people, grihastas' houses, you can understand how much love that person has by what they offer you. For example, they'll offer some rice and sabji, and maybe there'll be some sweet there. Because I only know about Indian preaching. I haven't really seen much anywhere else for a while. So if it's a rush job and there's not a lot of affection, when it comes to the sweet, then the lady of the house, she'll serve you custard. Custard is that buy this can of powder, whatever it is, cornstarch or something with some sugar in it. And you heat up a little milk on the stove, you throw in 2 tablespoons of the powder, whip it around, and throw in a few pieces of fruit, and then serve it out. It takes about 15 seconds to make, right? They call it custard. It's kind of like this is cornstarch, it's something like a flour, corn flour, and when it mixes with the milk, it becomes thick and pasty and kind of like an imitation kheer or something. And then when they bring that out, then you say, oh, this is the, and then you understand, oh, I don't rate very high over here. I have a very small place in these people's hearts. But if you have a big place in someone's heart, then they'll serve you what we call in the West sweet rice. And sweet rice takes about 2 hours to make, if you've ever made it properly, sweet rice. Cooking down the milk and cooking down the rice. So when some grihasta offer, and of course the other things are there, nice sabji, everything. Then when they bring out the sweet rice, you say, oh, really? They took some time. They want to please the guest. And of course it's prasadam. Ultimately they want to please Krishna. Because Prabhupada said, whatever you think of the devotees, that's what you think of Krishna. You think, devotees. Oh, but my deities. Oh, my deities are special. Devotees, I don't have any adar for them, any regard. Prabhupada said, no, you can't be so clever. Krishna is not so stupid. You can't outwit him or fool him. So Prabhupada said, however you treat the devotees, that's how you treat Krishna. How much you appreciate the devotees, that's how much you appreciate Krishna. How much regard you have for the devotees, that's how much regard we have for Krishna. And how much we love the devotees is how much love we have for Krishna. So we might say, I don't have any love for the devotees. I love myself a lot. But anybody else, not much. So then we can understand, okay, then we just change some of these nouns here. I love myself a lot, and I love Krishna nothing, zero, nothing. I don't need a devotee. What do I need the devotees for? I live by myself. I have the books and the tapes. The hell with these devotees. You know? So it's like you just change the devotee, put Krishna in there. I live by myself. I don't need Krishna. The hell with Krishna. I have all these books about Krishna, but I don't need Krishna. The hell with him. Sometimes this attitude comes. Inseparable. It's like saying, I take the fire. I don't need the heat. Who needs the heat? You don't need the heat. Just take the flames. But you can't take Krishna without, you can't have the fire without the flame, without, you can't have the flames without the heat. And you can't have Krishna without his devotees. Prabhupada would often say when he would see pictures of just Krishna alone, sometimes the devotees would paint pictures, a painting of just Krishna, and maybe a tree. Prabhupada would say, where are the devotees? Krishna is always with his devotees. There must be some devotees there, at least a parrot or a peacock or a cow or something. Of course, a tree you could say is a devotee also, but in this regard, Prabhupada mentioned that Krishna is never, we never worship Krishna alone, especially Gaudiyas. We worship Yugal, Radha Krishna Yugal. But because we tend to be a little bit Mayavadis, we sometimes say, well, just Krishna. In fact, I even had a friend once in Bombay, and he had a large sized deity of Krishna in his house. About 4 feet tall. And he was very keen on doing puja and worship. And one day he came to Vrindavan and he showed me a picture of his deity of Krishna. He said, how do you like it? You know, many people are coming for darshan, they see my deity. And he says, what do you think? And I said, Krishna is very unhappy. Krishna is very unhappy and he looks very unhappy and I can see that you don't have any love for him. And he was rather taken aback because he had been doing puja for some years and no one ever told him that. Everyone always patted on the back, oh, you dress this deity so nicely, it's so nice, it's so colorful, you're really good, you're a good pujari, this and that. And then he comes to Vrindavan and then the sky falls on his head that Krishna's not very happy and you have no love for Krishna. And then, of course, he was curious why I said that. He said, what do you mean? I said, if you really love someone, you want to give them the best thing. You want to give them the best possible thing you could give them. You want to give them something which will make them really happy. Something so special that will make them such a gift that will make them so happy that every day they'll feel happiness from this gift. It'll be a very enduring gift and a very endearing gift. And if your love is something less, then you won't even know what your lover wants. And if your love is very, very less, you never even think about this idea. So then he says, yes, yes, and? What is that gift? I said, because your objective, you're doing puja and worship of Krishna. What is your objective? What is your motivation? To make Krishna happy. Isn't this the goal of bhakti? To please Krishna, to make him happy, to satisfy him? We're doing puja and worship and dressing for his pleasure, or is it for our pleasure? If we do it nicely, then someone will say, oh, you're really an expert pujari. Oh, yeah. So are we dressing Krishna for our pleasure? To get the adoration, distinction, and glorification? So I said, if you really had love for Krishna, then you'd want to give him that object which will give him the most pleasure. And if you really want to make him happy, then you should install a deity of Radharani. Because this is the greatest gift you can give to Krishna. Krishna's standing all by himself. And he's crying. Where's my Radharani? Can't you hear him crying? You think he's smiling, he's pretending to smile, but actually he's crying. Because there's nothing in this world that makes Krishna happy except Radharani. Even if you present millions of gopis to Krishna, millions of the most enjoyable ladies in the entire universe, and put them before Krishna and say, here, it's a full moon night, the Yamuna is there, the sandalwood breeze is blowing, it's full of scent of lotus flowers and lilies. And it's autumn, it's so beautiful. Here, enjoy, dance, enjoy all these beautiful ladies. No thanks. No interest. Zero. And walks away. What does that tell you? I mean, could you imagine a man walking away from one woman in the middle of the forest, 12 o'clock at night, no one around, and it's just you and one most beautiful woman in the world, and you say, well, goodbye. Man couldn't walk away from one woman. What to speak of 3 billion women? Padma Puran says there was something like 3 billion women in the Maharashtras. So therefore, we want to give Krishna the best thing, and that is Radharani. Back to the Korma Brahman. With great affection and respect, that Brahman made Mahaprabhu eat all kinds of foods. After that, the family ate all the remnants. So the family is doing everything they can to get purified and take advantage of Mahaprabhu's association. Wash his feet, drink his foot water, offer him all kinds of wonderful, satisfying foods, then take his remnants. And then now there's more. Ye para padma tomar brahma dhyana kare, se para padma shakshat aila mora ghare. The Brahman from Kurmakshetra then began to pray. Oh my Lord, your lotus feet are meditated upon by Lord Brahma, and these very lotus feet have come into my home. Mora bhagya rasima najaya kahan aji mora shlagya haila janmakuladhan. My dear Lord, there is no limit to my great fortune. It cannot be described. Today my family, birth, and riches have all become glorified. So here, now he's served the Lord in a very wonderful way. Now he's glorifying the Lord with his words. Kripakara Prabhu More Jantama Sange Sahite Na Paridukka Vishayatarange. Like we have in the Madhurya Kalambani, Taranga Rangani. Taranga means waves, Rangani means waves of enjoyment, or enjoying the waves of pleasure that Bhakti Devi brings to the devotee, rather than offering those waves for Krishna's pleasure. Vishaya Tarange. The Brahman begged Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, kindly show me favor and let me go with you. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life. Kripakara Prabhu More Toma Sange Sahite. Srila Prabhupada states, this verse is applicable for everyone, regardless of how rich or prosperous one may be. Narottam Das Thakur has confirmed this statement. Samsaravishanale dhivanishahiyajwale. He states that materialistic way of life causes a burning in the heart. One cannot make any provisions for the troublesome life of the material world. It is a fact that one may be very happy as far as riches are concerned and very opulent in every respect. Yet, one has to manage the vishayas to meet the demands of the body and of so many family members and subordinates. One has to take so much trouble to take care of others. Narottam Das therefore prays, Vishaya chariya kabe shudahabe man kabe hamaharibo shri Vrindavindam. We're very lucky. We're reminded of Narottam Das Thakur today. And our calendar says that today is the disappearance day of Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya. So we're hearing some of his teachings from Prarthana. One line that Prabhupada was very fond of from this song. Is it Goranga Bolite Habe? That's the song. Goranga Bolite Habe. Shuddha Habe. So we would sing this line Prabhupada would sing with great feelings. Feelings of love and feelings of realization. He saw it, he realized it, and he transcended it and attained Vrindavan. Prabhupada was surrounded by children and family. His own son claims that Prabhupada produced 10 children. Vrindavan Day, who goes to Mayapur every few months, he told Jananivas and Pankajangri and several of the senior Bhavanand and others that Lilamrita is quite incorrect. Prabhupada Lilamrita says that Prabhupada had 4 children, but his own son said he had 10. So we can, in this regard, we should accept the son's version. If you want to know the mother, if you want to know the father, you have to ask the mother, right? Prabhupada says, so if you want to know the children, you should ask the son, not the others. So he explains that 4 remained, 1 went a little crazy and went wandering around Calcutta somewhere, and the 5 other ones died at different stages of their life, at a few months or weeks or years. So there's basically 5. Prabhupada had a good experience of Vishayi Sangha, the association of sense enjoyers. His wife and children, they demand so much ministering, so much caring, and it really saps the vital energy of a human being to have so much responsibility for fulfilling the needs of 10 people, 10 children, and a wife, expenses. So Vishaya Charya Kabe Shudahabhiman, that we can renounce, Charya means Chordye, we can renounce sense gratification and a circle of sense enjoyers when our mind becomes pure. Vishaya Charya Kabe Shudahabhiman. And when that mind is pure, a pure mind has no other desire than to love Krishna, because that desire is primordial. That desire is intrinsic to the jiva, to love God. So after getting free from the stranglehold of family life, then Prabhupada took shelter of Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Radha Damodar. And there he prepared for his mission of liberating all of us. One must become freed from the materialistic way of life. One has to merge himself in the ocean of transcendental bliss. These lines from this purport, they seem like they were taken from Prabhupada's personal diary. Because when he was in the family life, I don't think he was merged. He was not merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss. Of course we could say he was, because a pure devotee, he's always a pure devotee, internally. Prabhupada even said, if you see a devotee suffering externally, don't think that he's suffering, because internally he's relishing the greatest ecstasy. At least for this purport, Prabhupada often would say, I was not relishing my family life very much. So when we become freed from the materialistic way of life, then we have an opportunity to merge in the ocean of transcendental bliss. In other words, one cannot relish transcendental bliss without being freed from the materialistic way of life. It appears that Korma Brahman was materially very happy, for he expressed his family tradition as Janma Kula Dhan. Now being glorious, he wanted to leave all these material opulences. In other words, Janma means his birth was good. He was born as a Brahmin. He had a very auspicious birth. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir. And Kula, his family, he was born in a very good family, a pious religious family, well situated and respectable and full of learning and position. And Dan means he had sufficient wealth. He had land and property, and he was in charge of some temple. So he was not in lack. He was not lacking anything. He had everything sufficiently, but he was still hankering for the association of the Lord. So when the Lord personified came to his house for lunch, he was captivated and wanted to run away with Mahaprabhu. He wanted to travel with Mahaprabhu. According to the Vedic way of civilization, one should leave his family life after attaining 50 years of age and go to the forest of Vrindavan to devote the rest of his life to the service of the Lord. So many times we've heard in the last few days, reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, this magic number of 50, generally, because that verse is there, you can see in Prabhupada's verse book, it says, Pancha Urdvam Vanam Vrajet Pancham Urdvam Vanam Brajet. Brajet means to go to. And Van means forest. Or you could say it means the forest of Braj, but that's stretching it. Because Braje means to go, but sometimes acharyas say that the Bhagavad Gita verse means go, abandon everything and go to Braj. Sarvadharman Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Braja means to go, but it can also mean Braj. But that's kind of a bhav vichar consideration of your mood. At any rate, in this verse that Prabhupada quotes in his shloka book, it's saying that when one reaches the age of 50, he should go to the van or the forest, because this is the injunction for the grihastha. At the third stage of life, it's called vanaprast. Van means forest, and prashta means to go or to live, I suppose. So Prabhupada, that verse is very much in his mind, and he often speaks it in his lectures, the Sanskrit, or in English in his purports. He himself, now think of Prabhupada's life, he left his family in 19, how old was he? He was 59 or so? No. When Prabhupada took sannyas, what year? 1959? September 12th or something in 1959, Vishrup Mahotsav. So Prabhupada was 63. He himself was 63 when he took sannyas, but when he left his family, he was about 56. As a vanaprast, alone or singly, he left his home and he went to Jhansi and he was preaching there. I think you all know Leelamrita. He went to Jhansi and then he came to Vrindavan. So at about the age of 50 or so, Prabhupada himself left his family and then took sannyas at 63. So this is the number, according to Vedic civilization, one should leave his family life. And Vanam, is the verse that Prabhupada quotes, Vanam Brijet, only says Vanam. It says go to the forest, and there's forests all over India. But Prabhupada takes Vanam to mean Vrindavan, or Vrindavan, the forest, specifically the forest of Vrindavan. Because for a Gaudiya Vaishnava, there is no other forest. There is only one forest, and that's Vrindavan. Because that's the site of the Rasastali and Govardhan and Varsana and Nandagram and Radhakund and Shamakund. All these Nidivans, Sevakund, Yamunapulin and Govindastali, all these places are situated in one of the 12 forests, which is known as Vrindavan or Vrindavan. There's others, Kamvan and Bahulvan, Kokilavan, Kadiravan, Kokilavan, Madhavan, Talavan, Lohavan, Bandiravan. So many forests, 12 forests are there. But Vrindavan is number one. Prabhupada establishes worship of Krishna Balaram there. And he said, this forest is my home. Prabhupada's home is in the forest of Vrindavan. And what part in that forest? Where does he live in that forest of Vrindavan eternally? In Seva Kunj, at the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari and Vilas Manjari, rendering the intimate service of arranging for the pastimes of the Lord, especially in the evening time. In that side of Vrindavan, calling everyone, please come. Come Manjaris, come Sakis, come Parrots, come Peacocks, come. I'll bring all the instruments. Because Prabhupada is always organizing festivals. When he was here, he was a great festival organizer, and he would send letters. You can read the letters, 1968, 69, etc. Prabhupada would send letters to different leaders. Dear Tamal Krishna Maharaj, our next festival is 1968. Our next festival will be Rai Raj. Rai Raj. And this festival, Radharani is dressed up as a queen, and Krishna becomes her kotwari, her chokidar, with a shield and a sword. This is there, you can read it on your folio, 1968. Because this festival, even every year, is enacted in Madan Mohan Temple, in Vrindavan, and also here. Maybe twice in a year. I think it's right after 3 or 4 days at the end of Kartik, and then after Shravan Mas. There's Sham Sakhi, then there's Subal Sakha Vesh. Radharani dresses up as Subal Sakha. Then there's Ban Bihar. Gopinath is Ban Bihar. Damodar is Sham Sakhi. Damodar dresses up as a Sakhi playing a Veena. And Gokulananda is also Rai Raj. Dressed up as Rai Raj. Radharaman, I think, is in maybe a boatman or something. They all have different. Shamsundar is a boatman. It's called Nokabihar. Nokabihar Vesh. If you go to Shamsundar Mandir near Damodar, there's a big boat there, and he has a stick, and he's right around. He's on one side, and he's rowing the boat. Anyone seen? You seen? It's one of the treats of living in Vrindavan. Special darshan. Radhika, you must have seen, no? So many times. She's a veteran. She has so many sweet memories and darshans locked in her heart. These are the rewards of passing a hot summer in Vrindavan. After the hot summer and Shravan Mas comes, and then the rains come, and then Krishna gives some special darshan. So like this, Prabhupada was organizing festivals when he was commanding ISKCON. And the spiritual world, that's also his Nitya Seva. He's arranging for different festivals and pastimes. So this Brahmin, he wants to go with the Lord, and who can blame him? If the Lord came to your house, you would certainly want to go with him. Isn't it? I mean, your wife may be beautiful, your husband may be handsome, and your house may be well appointed, but if Lord Chaitanya comes to your house, I think you'll forget about all of that. Like the Pied Piper, there's some story when I was a child, I don't know details, I forgot, but some guy played a pipe, like a flute, and he walked through town. Do you know the story? He walked through town and all the rats came out or something? I don't know. Is it? He played some pipe and he walked through some village. Then in every house there's so many rats, you know, eating all the grains. So they all came out of the houses and followed him out of town. I don't remember.
I think he eventually took all the children away or something.
Yeah, I think all the children. Well, they're like little rats anyway. There's rats and there's brats. In English they have a term, you're probably not familiar with it, but in slang of English, they have a little child that's sometimes called a brat, which is a boy that becomes a rat, becomes a brat. At any rate, when Lord Chaitanya came into town, like the Pied Piper, everyone left town when he left town. They all followed him in groves. Thousands of people would follow him. He would come through, he's just walking down the street, chanting. What was he chanting? Krishna, 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 Krishna. It is in Radha Bhava, separation from Krishna. Where is Krishna? Can you show me Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? He's looking. He's just looking as he goes through town. He's looking at a tree. He sees a Kadamba tree. Oh, Krishna, are you up there? Krishna, Krishna, hey. And he sees some river. Oh, Jamuna, Krishna, are you swimming there? Are you stealing the gopis' clothes there? Krishna, Krishna, hey. He's lost in his own Mahabhava, or her own Mahabhava, Radharani's Mahabhava, searching for Krishna. And that's his mood as he's traveling through South India, and everyone's seeing him and hearing his chanting. And by hearing and seeing him, by his Saundarya Rupam and his Prem Prabhav, by the beautiful form that he's exhibiting, towering figure of molten gold, liquid Prem, and by that beautiful form, he's attracting everyone. And by his glance, Premikshana means his looks of love, prem-filled glances, and his chanting, by hearing his prem-nam-sankirtan, by seeing him and hearing his prem-nam-sankirtan, everyone was becoming transformed. Everyone started dancing. And they were dancing behind them, they were following him, and then they realized, oh, the sun is going down, and I've already gone to another town. I followed him for 5 kilometers, I have to get back. So then they would leave Mahaprabhu and go back to their town. And now they're totally transformed. They become premized. When we say spiritualized, so this is premized. They become completely full of prem. And when they went back to the town, someone says, where'd you go? You were here and you went after that saint from Bengal. Yes, something's happened to me and I just feel ecstatic. And then the person would look at them and say, oh, I feel ecstatic too. And then they would just distribute Krishna Prem just by looking and embracing each other it's like the beginning of the, you know, Shakli distribution program. You know, pyramid sales. You get one and you distribute to two distributes to three distributes to four. And then this way, Prem was distributed throughout India. So it's naturally that Kurma Brahman wants to go with Mahaprabhu. So what did Mahaprabhu say when he asked like this? Prabhu Kahi? Aiche bat kabu na kahiba grihe grihe rahe krishnam nirantara laiva. That's the same thing he told Subuddhi Roy. It's interesting. Subuddhi Roy is a grihastha. And Subuddhi Roy, he left, well, this is a story we were reading yesterday. Subuddhi Roy, he left Navadvipa and he went to Varanasi. And in Varanasi, he met Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu told him, go to Vrindavan and take shelter of the holy name, Krishnanam Nirantara. He said, chant Krishna's name without stop. Now here again, here's another grihastha. He meets this grihastha and this Kurma Brahman, and he tells him, oh, stay home. Stay home. And he says, don't speak like that again. Better to remain home and chant the holy name of Krishna always. So the instruction is the same. He's telling both of them, Krishnanam Nirantara. Krishnanam Nirantara means Nirantara, no break, no end. Nirantara. He told Subuddhi Roy, Jai Ho, Damodar Maharaj ki Jai Ho. He told Subuddhi Roy, you stay home. He told Subuddhi Roy when he met him in Varanasi, don't go back home. Don't go back to Bengal. Don't go back to your wife. Don't go back to your children. Go to Vrindavan, Krishnanam Nirantara. Chant the holy name without cessation. And then he's in South India, and he meets the Kurma Brahman, and he tells the Kurma Brahman, and the Kurma Brahman is asking him, even Subuddhi Roy was not asking Mahaprabhu, can I go with you? He just said, what should I do? I had water sprinkled on me from the water pitcher of a Muslim, and the Brahmins here are telling me to give up my life by drinking hot ghee. I'm in a dilemma. I'm facing shamshaya. I'm facing doubts. What should I do? So then Mahaprabhu said, don't worry about anything. Go to Vrindavan and chant the holy name without stop. This is what he told him. And now, next pastime, he's in South India. He meets the Kurma Brahman. And then the Kurma Brahman, which is quite opposite what Subuddhi did, he said, please, I want to go with you. Please take me with you. I want to go with you. And then he says, Mahaprabhu says, don't speak like that again. Don't bring this up again. Forget about that. Then what should you do? Stay here. Better to remain at home and chant the holy name of Krishna always. So they're both grihasthas, and one is begging to, please take me. He says, no, you stay. And the other is not even begging him to go. And he's already left his home, and he said, you go to Vrindavan. But you can see that some of the details are different. The details of the instructions are different. But the basic, you can say the basic or the sort of, the main primary instruction is the same. He told both Subuddhi Roy and the Kurma Brahman to Krishnanam Nirantara, always chant the holy name. Whether you're home, because if you're home with your family and your children and you're always chanting the holy name, you won't be home for long. Or home won't feel like home. Home will become back home. It'll become home comfort. It'll become the spiritual world. Because the Nam will transform everything, beginning with yourself. Transform the heart and mind. And for Subuddhi, who was already halfway out of home anyway, because he had left Bengal and he had met Mahaprabhu in Varanasi, he said, you've come this far, you might as well keep going. You're halfway to Vrindavan, so keep going. Go to Vrindavan. Then he lived there collecting babble trees, collecting dry babble trees and selling them in the market. Imagine those sticker bushes, collecting sticker bushes, selling them in Mathura. He was living in Mathura. And collecting a few paisa, spending one paisa on chickpeas for his daily fare. The balance of his paisa he was depositing with the city bank. No, with a grocer. With a store. And with that, when Bengali Vaishnavas would come to Mathura, he would withdraw that paisa and he would buy yogurt for them. Because they would get bad bellies from eating rotis and braj. Because they're used to rice. And then he would buy rice and then he would cook it himself on his dried babble sticks that he was already collecting. He would cook the rice and he would say, please come and take some cooked rice. Meals ready. So this was how he was passing his time. And then he would also show them around the holy spots of Vrindavan, Dwarasavan Parikrama, Trosikosh Parikrama. So that earned him a lot of credit. The blessings of Mahaprabhu are unlimited. Then all this Vaishnava Seva, what result did he get from all this yogurt distribution? This food for life distribution? This is a food for life program. Bengali food for life. Because if they eat rotis, they'll die. They can't digest them. Oh, the other thing, what is the other thing that he did? He used to give them mustard oil massages. Remember? Remember the story? And then Prabhupada writes in his purport, Bengalis are very fond of massage with mustard oil. This is Prabhupada's personal, you know, he's also like that. So then, to comfort them after their long journey of 4 or 5 months walking from Bengal, he would massage them. So what result did he get from this food for life distribution of yogurt and cooked rice and massage? He got the association of Rupa Goswami. Because Rupa Goswami also came to Mathura to follow the prescribed method of entering Braj. First come to Mathura, take bath in Vishram Ghat, take darshan of Keshavaji at Janmastan, then tour the 12 forests of Vrindavan, then come to Vrindavan and see the Teen Prabhu, Madan Gopal, or Madan Mohan, Govindaji and Gopinath, and then settle up in Vrindavan or whatever forest tastes the best, and do your bhajan. Right? This is the system. So then Rupa Goswami, when he came to Mathura, Subhuti Roy was there to greet him. And then he gave him instruction. So this is a great fortune. So Mahaprabhu is saying, stay home, chant the holy name. And we'll read Prabhupada's purport. This is reminds me of what you were saying the other day, Giridhari. It is not advisable in this age of Kali to leave one's family suddenly. For people are not trained as proper brahmacharis and grihasthas. Therefore, Mahaprabhu advised the Brahmin not to be too eager to give up family life. It would be better to remain with his family and try to become purified by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra regularly under the direction of a spiritual master. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If this principle is followed by everyone, there is no need to accept sannyas. There you have it. That's your praman. Madhyalila chapter 7, verse 127. Prabhupada said, right? It's one of those Prabhupada says. It's actually, he said it. Sometimes people say, we have the joke in ISKCON, Maharaj wants to know. Someone says, well, Prabhupada said such and such. And so if you're a senior devotee and maybe you have some idea what he did say and didn't say, so yes, he said that in the 14th canto of Bhagavatam, isn't it? Then the person will say, yes, I think it's 13th or 14th canto, Prabhupada said. Or maybe I think it's the 19th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you know, in the purport. Prabhupada said. You know, it's like at any rate, this is the instruction. In the next verse, Mahaprabhu advises everyone to become an ideal householder by offenselessly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and teaching the same principle to everyone he meets. And here's the famous verse. Jare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amara agyaya guru hanatare desh. Mahaprabhu instructed the Kurma Brahmin, stay in your house with your family, chant the holy name, Nirantara, incessantly or constantly, and then instruct everyone to follow the orders of Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Upadesh, Jare Deke Tara Kaha. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. So that's Prabhupada's telling him. Of course, he's a Brahmin. Brahmins are meant to be gurus, according to Varnashram Dharma. At least in this context, he's qualified or eligible by his position in Varna to be guru. He's natural guru of the four Varnas, the Brahmin. And if he's learned in the science of Krishna Tattva, then he's qualified by his learning to instruct others in the science of God. But in other places, Lord Chaitanya broadens the definition of guru. Kiva vipra kivinasi sutra kenanai, ye krishna tattva veda se guru hai. That if one, doesn't matter whether one's a Brahmin or a sannyasi or even a shudra, if he knows Krishna tattva, then he can certainly instruct others and elevate them in spiritual life. Prabhupada says in the purport, The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to elevate human society to the perfection of life by pursuing the method described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his advice to the Brahmin Kurma. That is, one should stay at home, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and preach the instructions of Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada is saying in this purport that ISKCON, or the Krishna consciousness movement, it's one of its mission statements is to implement this concept that was introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago, that there's no need for a grihastha to run away from his home and run after the brahmacharis and sannyasis in the spiritual movements or institutions. They can stay put. Of course, wives will very much like this purport. They say, see, look, Prabhupada said, what are you talking about, sannyas? Stay home, be nice, keep giving me the money, and preach in your spare time if you have any. And that's enough. Don't go crazy now. So, but Prabhupada is saying that this is one of the mission statements. We are trying to pursue the method. He says that we are pursuing the method described by Mahaprabhu in his advice to the Brahmin. Because 99% of the people in the world are grihasthas, or maybe 99.9. And they are married and situated in various places and varnas and ashramas around the world. So this is a very practical and useful instruction. Don't change anything. Just change the consciousness. And then when the consciousness is changed, then automatically the activities will modify, follow suit. So if we become Krishna conscious by constant chanting of the Maha Mantra, then that will create a ruchi, natural taste to glorify Krishna. It will come automatically. Because when you love someone, the nature of love is that you want, it expands. It expands you. Love, if love comes within you, it expands you. It expands your effulgence, it expands your heart, it expands your mind, and expands your speaking power. You want to speak about the one you love. The karmis transfer that loving experience or that loving spirit into writing poetry or songs. I love her so much, I can't live without her. Whatever, they sing songs. Because this love expands the heart and they have to express it. It has to come out. And if you're a poet or a songwriter, then you write a song or a poem. So many love poems you must have heard in your own native language, Hindi or French or Manipuri, whatever. Great love poems. And sometimes the greatest love poems are even relished by spiritualists. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he would sometimes recite verses from love poems. One verse he would recite in Rath Yatra was about a girl that was hankering for the time before she was married. She finally married her lover, childhood lover. But she was hankering for those days and moments when they were on the banks of the Revati River, or Reva River or something. And she was remembering how spontaneous the feelings were then, and how blissful she felt then when they weren't married. And then, of course, they got married and everything went dry. So Mahaprabhu, this is a verse from a love poem. And Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Radha Bhav and Mahabhav, dancing in front of Rajendranandan and Shamsundar Jagannathji, is reciting this verse. And everyone is looking. And Surup Dhamma and other associates were quite learned in kavya and poetry and sahitya, literature. I said, what is this? But Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami, understood, oh yes, this Mahaprabhu's feelings are like this. Radharani's feeling like this, hankering and separation from Krishna at Kurukshetra. Then Rupa wrote this verse, famous verse. So when one chants, then this kind of loving feeling will overtake one. And then want to learn about the lover, so study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and then speak it. So this is very encouraging. Every grihastha can fall in love with Krishna and tell others about his newfound love. So one more verse here. There's two verses we can finish, I think. Kabunaba dibe tamar vishaya taranga punarapiye tani pabe mora sangha. Mahaprabhu further advised the Brahmin Korma, If you follow my instruction, your materialistic life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. Indeed, if you follow these regulative principles, we will meet again, or rather, you will never lose my company. That's a very, very sweet and romantic statement, actually. Can you imagine you serve Mahaprabhu in your house and wash his feet and cook a nice feast for him, and then you put the water on your head and take his remnants and then glorify him with a few verses, then beg him to please take you with him. So you're expressing, if you're begging someone, please take me with you, that means that whatever you already have in your hand or whatever you consider valuable or meaningful, it's become reduced to ashes by that statement. Because I have this house behind me, I have this wife and children, I have this income, I have this land, I have this position, I'm a Brahmin, I have so many things behind me. But when I see you, all I say is, please take me with you. That means I leave all this behind and just take you. So that statement is expressing how much I've fallen in love with you. That I'm ready to sacrifice everything that I've gathered and collected and accumulated for my entire life. Because you can understand that Karma Brahman wasn't a 5-year-old boy. He must have been like 40, 50 years old. He had children. He had a position, house. So, okay, all of that, nothing before you. Take me with you. So that's touching. It's very touching if someone says that. You can imagine. So now Mahaprabhu replies in a similarly touching way. He says, I'm here for you. You want to be with me? Well, don't worry. I'm not going to leave you. I'll always be with you. This is very nice. We will meet again, or rather, you will never lose my company. When Prabhupada was going to San Francisco in 1967, and devotees were feeling lonely, they said, oh, Swamiji, who will give the class? Who will lead the kirtan? How can we exist without you? And you are everything, and we're just like little babies, and now you're going off to San Francisco. We never thought you would ever leave us. We can never... And he said, that's all right. And he was trying to comfort them. And then he said, Brahmananda, you'll lead the kirtan, and Satsarup, or Kirtananda, you'll cook the prasad. And he was delegating all the different sons. He was assuring all the family members that, don't worry, your brothers and sisters, everyone, I'll delegate them some duties, and everything will go on nicely. And then still they were hankering and somewhat upset. And Prabhupada said, listen, I'll be in San Francisco. And I'll be chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And you'll be here in New York, and you'll be chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And when you're chanting Hare Krishna, and I'm chanting Hare Krishna, we will be packed up together. He said, packed up together, and you will not experience any separation. Don't worry. So when Prabhupada said those words, it melted everyone's heart. And everyone felt, with those words, Prabhupada simply opened the doors of his heart, and he said, listen, get inside, I'll take you with me. So he opened the doors of his heart, and he took Satsarup and Brahmananda and Jadarani and Kirtananda and Hayagriva and Chutananda, and he took all the hearts of those first devotees, and he put them inside through the doors of his heart, and he said, don't worry. He closed the doors, and he went to San Francisco. So that no one felt the separation because of Prabhupada's loving words and his all-inclusive heart. So Mahaprabhu is speaking like that. If you follow these regular principles, we will again meet here. Or rather, you will never lose my company. Hey Mata Janra Gare Kare Prabhu Bhiksha Seyachi Kahe Tanre Karaya E Shiksha. I think that was the end. I just want to read this purport, actually. It says here, at whosoever house Sri Chaitanya accepted his alms by taking prasadam, he would convert the dwellers to his Sankirtan movement and advise them just as he had advised the Brahmana named Kurma. So this apparently was the way Lord Chaitanya was preaching as he moved from house to house, accepting it nirmantran or invitations in South India. I'll finish with Prabhupada's purport for five seconds. Prabhupada says, this is an opportunity for everyone. If one simply follows the instructions of Mahaprabhu under the guidance of the spiritual master, his representative, and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, teaching everyone as far as possible the same principle, the contamination of materialistic life will not touch him. It does not matter whether one lives in a holy place like Vrindavan, Navadvip, or Jagannath Puri, or in the middle of European cities where the materialistic way of life is very prominent. You must be knowing. You must be. Prabhupada saying the European cities, America doesn't even get mentioned here. It's unmentionable. In European cities, the materialistic way of life is very prominent. If a devotee follows the instructions of Mahaprabhu, he lives in the company of the Lord. Wherever he lives, he converts that place into Vrindavan and Navadvip. This means that materialism cannot touch him. This is the secret of success for one advancing in Krishna consciousness.